Let us hear the word of God this morning. We read from the Song of Solomon, the song, chapter 2 today, the second chapter of Solomon's song. We read all of the chapter together. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay with me, flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stirs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies, until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Amen. Let us pray. We seek the Lord together. Let us bow our heads. Our Father, we thank thee for the blessed hope. We thank thee for the promise of the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus. We thank thee that as he came in the first advent, so we know he shall come in the second advent. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt fill our hearts with this hope and with the comfort of this truth this morning. Bless thy people, encourage them, strengthen the saints, strengthen our faith, Lord, our faith. And we pray that thou wilt awaken sinners and cause them to be concerned about their unprepared state. For Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to draw your attention to that portion of Scripture that we read earlier on this morning, the Song of Solomon and the chapter 2. And I want to draw your attention to our text, which is the words of verse 8 through to 13. Verses 8 through to 13. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away, for lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Especially the words of verse 8. Behold, behold, he cometh. Behold, he cometh. This time of year we think of the first Advent. But the first Advent is a precursor of the second Advent. As the first Advent took place, so the second Advent will take place. Jesus said before he came the first time, Lo, I come. Jesus says again before he comes the second time, Lo, I come. And I want to draw your attention to these words and to the picture around these words. Behold, he cometh. Behold, he cometh. We have to see the picture. You have to see the picture before you can bring out the theology. You have to see what the story and the illustration is before you can draw out the application and see what it pictures and portrays. So there's a picture here, and we have to see the picture. And I want to draw you into the text to see the picture first and foremost. There's a bride. There's a bride. She's in the house. She's alone. Her bridegroom is not there. She's not with her bridegroom. She's alone. Her beloved is not there. She sits alone. She sits alone in the house. She's a kind of a widow, but she's not a widow. But she's alone. She's alone. She's not with her bridegroom. He has gone. He's not there. He's not present. The house is empty. It's sad. It's dreary. It's a long winter. The rain's been coming down. It's been a hard winter. It's been a hard time. There's been a damp time, a dark time. She's married. Yes, she's married. She's married. She has a beloved. She has a beloved, but he's absent. He's not there. He's gone away. But the scene changes. The voice of my beloved. He's coming. He's coming. Behold, he comes. He's leaping on the mountains. He's skipping over the hills. He's like a roe. He's like a young hart. He's got into the court. He's got on this side of the wall. He's come right up to the window of my house. He's looking through the lattice. And now he's speaking. He's speaking to me. My beloved spake. And so there are two parts to the picture. There is the coming of the beloved, verses 8 and 9. And then there is the calling of the beloved. My beloved spake. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. So her beloved's coming and her beloved's calling. This bride is the church. This bride is you, child of God, not with Christ yet. Yes, you're not with Christ yet. This bride is the saint. This bride is you with your struggles. You in the winter time of your sojourn and pilgrimage in this world. You in this winter time and the dampness of the darkness of this world. This is you in the house, not with your beloved. You're struggling. You're struggling with faith. You're struggling with the faith and with a Savior who's out of sight. You're battling a dear, beloved and Redeemer who is out of view. For we walk by faith, not by sight. This is you, and this is me. Our beloved, our blessed, sweet, and Lord Jesus has gone. He's gone. He has left us his word, that is true. He has left us the lattice to look out through, that is true. He has left us his promises. He's left us his pictures. He's left us the gospels. He's left us the word of God. He's left us His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is with us. But He has gone from us as to His humanity. We don't see Him face to face. We're not with Him. We can't touch His scars. We're not with Him yet. But we love Him. He's our beloved. And He is the one who has gone away. Yes, He's gone away. Did He not say that? I go away. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go away. I go away to prepare a place for you. I'm going away. Yes, He went away. 2,000 years ago, He went away. He ascended up on high. He who came into the world to die on the cross for us ascended. He went away. He went away. But before He went away, He left us a promise. Didn't He leave us a promise? He says, I go. I go away. I go to prepare a place for you. But I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where you, I am, there you may be also. I come again to get you. Behold, He cometh. The promise of the second coming. He will come again. He will come for us. Yes, there was a first coming. There was a coming to find us. The coming to Bethlehem's manger. The coming to the cross, the coming to buy us, the coming to purchase us with His blood, the coming to obtain all the promises of God that He might be the yea and amen. He's come for us the first time, but He's gone to the right hand of the Father, because a whole lot of the church has to be brought in over the thousands of the years that they'll be brought in. But He's given the promise that He's ever living for us at the Father's right hand. And one day He'll come again. He'll come again. He'll come again. And He'll come to take us to Himself. He'll come to take us to Himself, to be with Him forever. He hasn't come for us yet. He has not appeared for us yet. But He will. And we are looking for that blessed hope. And we are waiting for that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And one day soon, out of our lonely house and where'er our bodies rest, whatever tomb our dust finds, one day we'll hear the voice of my beloved. And one day we will say, behold, He cometh. Behold, He cometh. And that this will be true to us, and this will be fulfilled to us. Behold, He cometh. The voice of my beloved. That marks the coming. The voice of my beloved. She hears a voice before she sees Him leaping upon the mountains and the hills. The voice of my beloved, behold, He cometh. And what did Jesus say? The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Marvel not at this, Jesus said. The hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice. They shall hear His voice. The voice of my beloved. They'll hear His voice. We may be in our tombs. We may be in the grave. We may have rotted away to nothing but dust. But one day we'll hear His voice. The voice of my beloved. The voice of the Son of God calling to the dead to come forth. One day we'll hear it. And one day we'll know. And one day we'll say, behold, behold, He cometh. And our faith will be rewarded. And we will say, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him. Our hope was real. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven
With a shout,
yes,
with a shout, the voice of my beloved, he'll come again, but not in the quietness of Bethlehem. He'll come with a shout. He'll come with a shout. The voice of my beloved.
The dead in Christ shall rise.
See how he comes in the text. The coming of our beloved. He comes like a roe. He comes like a young hart. He comes like a beautiful and splendid young gazelle, or perhaps a glorious stag. He comes full of energy, full of power, full of life, leaping, skipping, skipping over the mountains, skipping upon the hills, full of energy, full of zeal in his advance for us, in his coming to us. You know, we don't skip the mountains. We don't skip the mountains. The mountains exhaust us. The mountains weary us. We have no power for mountains. But when Jesus comes, he skips the mountains. He leaps the mountains, full of energy. This is a symbol of joy as well in the scriptures. When you read of the animal skipping and leaping, it's joy. He's leaping for joy. He's skipping for gladness. Jesus is coming. He's desiring to come. His heart wants to come, but he must wait. He must wait till the last living stone is brought into the temple. He must wait, and he does wait, but he's ready to come skipping and leaping. He wants to receive us. He has joy and gladness about the matter. And one day, when the Father's commandment goes forth, "Go forth, my son," he will skip and leap. Skip and leap to come to us. Skip and leap with excitement to receive us. Enthusiasm and joy to come. You know, Jesus desires his people. Jesus desires his people. Jesus skips to come to his people. How he loves us. And so he comes with heart pounding, with desire and craving, leaping, skipping. Even now in glory he rejoices over us with singing, and he will soon come leaping. Oh, those mountains and hills. Yes, those mountains and hills. 2,000 years of them. 2,000 years of time. Mountains and hills. And I can see the scoffers as I sit in my house alone with my Bible and my faith in an absent Christ. I can see the scoffers saying, "Look at the mountains. Look at the mountains. Where's the promise of his coming? Since the fathers have fell asleep, nothing has changed. The mountains are still there. They're still great and high. And he's gone. And he's gone. And there's no sign of him coming back again." And the scoffers give us a hard time. And they say, "Look at those mountains and hills. Where is the promise? Where is the promise of his coming?" And so they mock us. And they mock our faith, and we have struggles of faith, and perhaps we have doubts at times. 2,000 years of mountains and hills. But one day soon, because the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, 1 year or 1,000 years, it's all the same to him. No! He's not slack. His slowness of coming is not slackness, but he tarries, long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He lingers. He lingers on in his long-suffering until they're all brought in. It's his patience. It's his patience. It's not his slackness. At midnight the cry was made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." It's not midnight yet. I don't know how near it is. I don't know how near midnight is. But I know this, it's coming, and it's nearer than it ever was before. And at midnight, the voice of my beloved, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Yes, the bridegroom cometh.
The one that the bride is waiting for. And we're waiting for the second coming while we rejoice in the first.
Now notice the progression in the text. First coming over the hills and the mountains. And then second, he is behind our wall. Oh, there's a wall about us. A wall about us. A wall of death. A wall of sin. There's a wall about us. He gets over the mountains and he gets over the hills, but he gets beyond the wall as too. He's behind our wall. He's breached the wall. He's breached the wall. He's got into the courtyard. You see, he has keys on his girdle. Remember how the psalmist said, "By thy power I've leaped over a wall." I don't think the Lord's leaped over the wall. The Lord has the keys. He's the keys of death and hell. He's come through the walls. He's inside the walls. He's coming to us in this second advent. He has breached the walls. He comes up to the window. He comes up and he shows himself. Yes, he shows himself. There's an appearing. There's a glorious appearing. He shows himself at the lattice. We're looking through the window. We're looking through the window and he shows himself. And we'll see him. We'll see him face to face. He shows himself. He shows himself. And there we are in our tomb. There we are in the winter. There we are behind the wall. There we are. We have lived in faith. We've died in hope. Our bodies were housed in the tomb and in the grave. We were encased. We were enwalled. We were enclosed. A wall of death about us. But we died in hope. A window of hope. A window of faith. We laid our loved ones in the earth in the sure and certain hope of the glorious resurrection. There was a lattice of faith when we laid our loved ones in the earth in the glorious hope of the glorious resurrection. There's a lattice of faith. The church has waited 2,000 years. We might wait another 2,000 years. I do not know. The holy martyrs have died. We have laid our brethren and sisters in the dust and in the ground. In the sure and certain hope of the resurrection, we still look out the window. When will he come? When will the resurrection morn come? When shall the voice of my beloved be heard? When shall the voice of the Son of God call me forth to come away? When will these verses be true? The flowers appear. The new heavens and the new earth. The voice of the singing of the birds. The turtle being heard in our land. The fig tree putting forth green figs. When shall the new heavens and the new earth dawn? When? When will he breach our walls? When will he appear? When shall faith give way to sight? When shall we see him? When shall he show himself at his appearing? I do not know when. But I know this. He shall appear. And we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. I know that. And one day he will show himself at the lattice. And it will be no more faith. It will be sight. Blessed sight of a glorious Lord. What shall he say to us then? That glorious morning when he shall appear. What shall he say to us then? What shall it be like? Well, we've beheld his coming. I want you now to think about his calling. What will he say to us when he appears at the lattice? What shall he say? Well, you will notice it's referred to in verses 10 through to 13. My beloved speak. The first thing is we will know him. My beloved.
whom having not seen, we love. Though now we see him not, yet we love him, we know him. And when we shall see him, and when he shall appear, we shall know him. We shall know him, and we'll say, my beloved, we've never seen the face of Jesus, but I know this, when he shall appear, we'll know him. And we'll say, my beloved, we've loved him. Don't you love Jesus, child of God? Don't you love him with all your heart? He's your beloved. My beloved speck. We will hear him. My beloved speck. He'll speak to us. That resurrection morn, he'll speak to us. The dead will hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice and they'll follow me. Even though they're in the tomb, even though they've rotted away to dust, they'll hear my voice and they'll follow me. They'll arise and they'll follow me because they'll hear my voice. My beloved speck. And it's very personal. He spake unto me. He spake unto me. Yes, it's personal. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus can say, he spake unto me. And all of us, that resurrection morn, will be able to say the same. My beloved spake. He spake unto me. Me. Me, the poor sinner. Me who didn't love him half enough. Me who was not anywhere near faithful. Me who let him down. Me who was ashamed of him. Me who didn't speak for him when I should have spoke for him. Me who listened to the devil too much. Me, the sinner. He spake to me. He spake to me. Won't that be great day? He spake to me. The doubting saint. The faltering saint. He spake to me. And what does he say? Oh, this is wonderful. What does our Lord say when he speaks to us? He spake to me, and see how he addresses us? He says, my love, Jesus calls you, child of God, his love. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus loves us, and he says, my love. He tells us of his love. That's the first thing he does. He assures us. He assures us of his love. He did that in his word and by his Holy Spirit. He left the supper. He left the Lord's table to assure us of his love. You're my love. I'll leave you this table. And you keep this table. You'll know about my love. You'll be assured about my love until I come back again. And you keep this table until I come back again. That'll assure you of my love. But one day I'll come back again. And the first thing he says is, my love. My love. You know, child of God, there might not be too many people love you, but Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. My love. He says something else. My fair one. My fair one. Now, I do not expect that. That he would say to me, my love, I can't believe. But that he would call me his fair one is hard to comprehend. Because I do not feel fair, nor do you feel fair, child of God. I feel black. I'm the sinner. I'm not the fair one. No, I'm the sinner. I've a black heart. I've sinned. But whenever Jesus appears, he calls us my fair one. You're fair to me. You're fair because I've made you fair. I've made you fair with my blood. That's washed all your sins away. I've made you fair in your justification when I saved you. I made you fair in your sanctification when I brought the word of God to you every Lord's day and I made you holy. I made you holy through my word. I prayed at the right hand of the Father. Sanctify them. Sanctify them today through the word, Father. I prayed that. And I've made you fair through my word. And then when he raises us up, he'll make us fair in his transformation and glorification of us by the power of his Holy Spirit. And he'll look upon us and we'll be a bride without fault. We'll be a spotless bride. And he'll just call us my fair one. I've made you lovely, I've made you lovely, and I've come before you to present you and show you to my Father. I've made you lovely. That's what Jesus does. He makes us lovely. He makes us lovely. The devil doesn't want to make us lovely. He wants to make us worse. The ungodly don't want to make us lovely. They want to bring us down. They want to corrupt us. They want to corrupt us. They want to destroy us. They want to blacken us. They want to darken us. But let me tell you this. Jesus makes his people lovely. He makes them lovely through his grace. My fair one. And then he commands us, rise up. Rise up, my love, my fair one. Rise up from your tomb. Rise up from your grave. Rise up. Arise. You notice that the same sentence that begins his speaking ends the speaking. He says there in verse 9, verse 10, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And then at the end of verse 13, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. This command, this address, to come away and arise, it encloses all his words. It's the main thing. The command to rise up and to come away, it's the main thing, and it encloses everything. Away. Arise. Lazarus, arise. But Lazarus, not only rise, come away, come forth. Come away. You see, whenever Jesus comes, he'll call us to live, to arise from our graves, but he'll also call us to come away. Come away from the tomb. Come away from the world. Come away from your tears. Come away from your fears. Come away from the winter. That's all past and gone now. Come away from the rain. Come away from the sorrow. Come away, away, never more to return. And the sense is, come away with me. Because he has come leaping upon the mountains and upon the hills, not to go into that dead, dark, damp house with her, but he has come to that dead, dark house to call her away. Away with him. Away with me. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Ever be with him. Away with me. Oh, do you know that the word come is our Lord's favorite word? That was a word that comforted us in the conviction of our sin. That was a word that put faith in our breast when Jesus first said to me, come, come unto me, come away from your sin, come unto me. And that's the word he shall speak to our bodies, walled in the tomb in our winter. He will say, come. Ah, the voice of my beloved. I know that verb. Come. Come. It was the first word that saved us. And it's the first word that will raise us from the dead. Come, come forth, and see how he informs us and encourages us. His word, even after his coming, cheers us. When we rise, he still has a word for us. And what does he say? He says, without going into the detail, the winter's over. The rain is over. It's gone. No more tears. No more winter. No more hardship. No more suffering. No more pain. No more separation. No more struggles of faith. No more battles with the world, the flesh, and the devil. No more struggling in your pilgrimage. It's past. It's over and gone. Gone for good. Gone forever. It's gone. And now there's a new world. a new heavens, a new earth, flowers, time of singing, the voice of the turtle, the fig tree, the tender grape, the good smell, a new world, a new dawn, a new spring. Behold, he cometh. What does this all mean for us today? Well, let me just say two things in closing. Let me say to you, child of God, you, child of God, you who are still in the winter, you who still feel the coldness, you who still struggle with the hardness, you who still have the dampness and the drizzle and the darkness in your pilgrimage, you're not with Christ. Yes, he's with us. We know he's with us by his Spirit, but we're not with him. We're not with him yet. We're not with him yet. And there are tears, and there's heartache, and there's disappointment, and there's crosses. Child of God, let me tell you this. Keep on looking out the window. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Keep on waiting. Wait on in your pilgrimage. Don't do anything wrong. Just wait on him. Wait on your Lord. Patiently wait. Be as those that wait for his coming. Keep on looking out the window. The window of his word. Keep on looking out the window of his word. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. I'll trust him. I'll believe in him. I'll embrace his promises. I'll do what he says. Even though I'm not with him, I'm trusting. I'm believing. I'm waiting. I'm looking out the lattice. I'm looking out the window. It's only faith, pure faith. But one day, it'll be his face. One day, it'll be his face. Just keep on believing, child of God. Don't let anything discourage you. Don't let anybody discourage you. Keep on believing. Keep on looking out the window. And then I want to say a word to unconverted sinners. What will become of you? This is not your story. He is not your beloved. You don't love him. You don't love Jesus. This is not your story. You're not in this story. If you're an unconverted sinner, if you have no faith in Jesus Christ, if you have no love for the Savior, you're not in this story. This isn't your story. You avoid him. You reject him. You disobey him. You don't trust in him. You will not come to him. You are a Christ-rejecting sinner. You are a worker of abomination and a breaker of God's law. This is not your story. This is not your story. Unconverted sinner, you have another story. You have another story. And your story is not one of come. To his people, Jesus will say, come. Come away. But to you, sinner, he will say, depart. Depart. Go away. Go away. That's what I say to you, sinner. You who won't love him. You who will not have him. You who will not believe in him. And say to you one day, go away. Depart. And he won't call you my love. And he won't call you my fair one. But he will call you cursed. Go away, ye cursed ones. He'll call you cursed.
It will melt his heart to say it, but he will call you that. Go away. Go away, ye cursed ones. And he won't give you the promise of a new heavens and a new earth. And he won't tell you about the voice of the turtle and the time of singing. And he won't tell you about the sweet smell. No. Your story is another story. It's the smell of brimstone. Your place is another place. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, everlasting burnings. And your company is all of those foul spirits that you let into your life. The devil and his angels. That's your place. Forever and ever. And so I say that to warn you. Do you not want this to be your story? Do you not want song 2 to be your story? Then you must be able to say to Jesus, my beloved Jesus, you must trust in him. Let us